Well, hello and welcome to our broadcast. Today we're going to talk about dealing with the apostasy before the apostasy deals with us. Well, today we're going to talk about the subject of apostasy, dealing with apostasy before it deals with us. The book of Jude is a little book. It's only 25 verses long and one chapter, and it's placed in the Bible just before the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation tells us how the whole world is going to end, and the book of Jude talks about the apostasy that will be upon us as we come to the end of the age. So we best not bury our heads in the sand and pretend there's no apostasy. There is an apostasy, and we're in the middle of it right now, and we need to deal with the subject rather than just pretend it's not there. We need to deal with the apostasy of our day. Well, is there anything in the Bible that tells us how to do that? Yes, there is. You have the book of Jude here, and for the first 16 verses, we have something that is very negative. Someone has said, in comparing this with the book of Acts, we call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles. The book of Jude, you can call it the Acts of the Apostates, and that's what it is. It's very negative stuff until you get to verse number 17, and then you have the word but. Now, the word but, he says, but beloved, and then he said again in verse number 20, but ye beloved, he says but. Now, the word but is a conjunction that is used to introduce something contrasting with what has already been mentioned, and what has already been mentioned is all this negative stuff for the first 16 verses, which, simply put, is apostasy. So we're going to talk about apostasy. And Jude says, under inspiration of God, but beloved, here's what you need to do during this apostate period. He said, first of all, remember that it was spoken before, and it was told you that mockers would come in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now, we think of the word ungodly, and we think it's something really, really bad. No, it's just not of God. Anything that is not of God is ungodly. We look at the word lust here in verse 18 and we think of something immoral. The word has been translated desires many times, and what it's talking about here is just walking after desires that are not of God. Now, being more excited about getting a crowd in church and having a bunch of people out there who are apostate, that is not in line with God, and so that is ungodly. What we need to do is just get the Bible, preach the word like we used to do 50 years ago, or maybe a little longer than that ago. We used to preach the word. That was it. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Oh, not anymore. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to just, you know, be politically correct. We don't want to offend anybody. And so we got what we call politically correct fundamentalism. Let's just preach the smooth things, it says in the Bible. Just preach us the smooth things. Don't, you know, give us deceitful things if you want to. Just don't tell us the truth, because we don't want to hear the truth. Well, that's what apostasy is all about. But beloved, he says, and he's referring to the remnant, and there is a remnant here. The Bible makes that very plain. God has always had a remnant. You go all the way back to Noah. How many people got on that boat? The Bible says that in those days the people began to call upon the name of the Lord, and then it says the flood came and took them all away. You know, they were very, very religious. They were going through the motions, but there was only 8 people that got on the boat. It was a pretty small remnant, and the ones who got on the boat were the ones who were actively involved in building it. And so we go a little further into the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah said, if it had not been for the very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you go on to when Jesus was born. How many people showed up for that? There's all of Jerusalem. Well, we got a few shepherds that came in out of the field that came there, and a couple of people in the temple who realized who Jesus was. What were the rest doing? Oh, they were having temple prayer meetings, and they were doing all their stuff that they did in the synagogues and all the stuff they did in the temple, and they were going through the motions and totally and completely missed what was going on. That is what is happening today in a big way. Again, I'm talking about what is happening in many of our so-called fundamental independent Baptist churches. Now, if you're interested in making it through this age of apostasy, what we have here in verse 17 to verse number 25 in this little book of Jude is how we can do it. And one of the things he says in verse number 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves. You think, you know, I go to church and I listen to a 45-minute sermon and hope it's not more than 45 minutes because, you know, we got to beat the Pentecostals to the restaurant for lunch. Let's get out of here. You're going to go over, 45 minutes, you're going to have roast preacher for dinner. And what you get, if all you get is what you get at church, it's not enough. He says, building up yourselves. Study to show yourself approved. Workmen that need not to be ashamed. If you're going to make it through the age of apostasy, you better start building up yourself and building up your children, your family, or we're going to lose them to the next generation. It's just that simple. Okay, well, I haven't got time to be building up myself. I just don't have time. You got time to watch television. You got time to do everything we want to do. Building up yourselves, or you're going to get taken over by the apostasy of our day. The second thing he says is praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying with the Holy Ghost. What is prayer today? Well, for the most part, prayer is us begging God to get us out of some trouble we got into because we didn't pray about whether we should have done that stuff in the first place or not. Or in our average church service, praying is when everybody closes their eyes and the pastor goes through the motion of a prayer while the entertainers come down, get up behind him, and so when he says amen, they're ready to sing. If that's all the praying we're doing, we're not doing a lot of praying, are we? Then he says, number three, that we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. How are you going to keep yourself in the love of God? Well, how do you keep yourself in love with anybody? You got to have communication. There has to be a relationship there. You don't meet somebody and then 10 years later meet them again for the second time and say, boy, I really love you. The only way we love people, or the only way we love God, is to have a relationship and to cultivate that love. Well, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves. Build yourselves. See, it's something we have to do for ourselves. And then he says in verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we'd all be in trouble. And so, yeah, keep your eyes on the fact that, you know, I've read the last chapter, and we're going through a lot of stuff right now in the political world and the social world and all the anarchy that's going on these days. I've read the last chapter, and if you have eternal life, keep your focus on that and don't get discouraged about what's going on around us. Then he says in verse 22 and in verse 23, of some have compassion, he says, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so he says, now what you need to do is see who you can help. There's a few people, there's not very many, but there's a remnant. And if you've got a crowd, you know, and this is what we have in most of our churches, we've got 90% of the people sitting there who do nothing for God, 10% do most of the work. Well, in that 90%, there might be a handful of people that you can have compassion, making a difference, and pulling them out and getting them involved in the things of the Lord. Compassion, having compassion. Well, how much compassion? Think about it for a minute. On a scale of 1 to 10, as God sees it, how much compassion does he see in your life? Compassion where you're really concerned for the needs of other people. And then he ends this in verse 24 by saying, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Well, what a portion of scripture. He said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. What's he talking about? Falling for the apostasy that he's talked about here for 16 verses. We haven't looked at those. We'll look at them in the next program. But he said, he is able to keep you from falling. That is amazing. That is a wonderful thing. He is able to keep you. You know, once you're saved, you're saved. Praise God for that. Well, he's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's great that in this book of apostasy, Jude ends it all by talking about the fact that we can have exceeding joy. So what we need to do is quit whining and start shining, and let's get out there and take advantage. I've just skimmed through these verses here from verse 17 to 25. Read them for yourself, make them a part of your life, and you'll know what the exceeding joy is all about.